Grace to and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We reflect this day on the Holy Gospel lesson from St. Mark chapter 7. I will simply read just a little bit of it. And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." We might first think that when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, that he's just being kind of ridiculous. Doesn't everybody have rules that they live by? Doesn't everybody have certain things that they learn? There's a whole book about all that I ever needed to know I learned when I was in kindergarten. Learning about being nice to the other children in the class and helping them and not damaging their property and all sorts of things like that. There's nothing really wrong about saying when you hang up a towel, you hang it up so it's hanging nice and even so it can dry on both sides and so it doesn't get all moldy. There's nothing wrong with saying that when you're done with your dishes, after you've finished your meal, you take them over to the sink and maybe you put them in the sink and rinse them, and maybe you rinse them and put them in the dishwasher or get them ready for being washed. That kind of stuff, there's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing wrong about saying that you don't leave your clothes laying around all over the floor, but you pick them up and you hang them up, and when they're dirty, you get them to the wash basket and get them washed, or help with folding the clothes after they come out of the dryer or off the line. Nothing wrong with those kinds of things. Or to learn how to be polite to someone else, and say please and thank you, and to send thank you notes, maybe even handwritten to somebody if they've done something nice, and appreciate what they've done instead of simply take it for granted. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Those kinds of things, there's nothing wrong. But what Jesus is talking about is a whole system that was developed by the time Jesus came along. And quite frankly, the system was, how can you manipulate God? How can you get God to do what you want God to do for you? How can you get all the goodies? And that's rampant in our day as well. Most people have a list of things that they wish for that they do not have. It may be physical things. I wish I had a new couch, or I wish I had a new lawnmower. It could be, I wish I had a new friend. I wish I had a new neighbor. I wish my job would be a better job, and all of those kinds of things. But what's going on here is, how do I get the things I want to happen? And the children of Israel had been given all sorts of instructions by the Almighty God. Most of those came through Moses from up on Mount Sinai. And if you look very carefully in Exodus chapter 20, you will see that it says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So I've already given you a whole lot of stuff. Here's how you are to respond to that. So God gives them a way to respond within the realm of the blessings he had given. He doesn't give them rules so they can get more. If you do this, then you'll get more than what someone else has. But he rather says, here's how you live in the relationship I've established. Here's the fruit that ought to come out of your lives because I have made you my people. And just like the tomato plant's going to make tomatoes, you are going to be people who will honor me with your heart and soul and mind, love me only, worship me, honor your father and mother, and make sure that everyone else's property is cared for with all the care you can give it to help them live their lives and for them to help you live yours. But our old sinful nature always comes up with that little word, more. I want more than what I have. How can I get it? And so already at the time of Jesus, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders, had taken what was the way they would say thank you to God for what he had done, and they turned it into how could they push the button to get God to give them what they wanted. Most of them would have said what they really wanted was to be free of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was oppressive. They were taking much of the people's money. They were occupying the land. And the religious leaders and political leaders thought, God does not want this. What do we have to do to get God to get rid of our oppressors? But along the way, many of the people thought that they could oppress their fellow citizens as well. They could find fault with all sorts of things. And so by the time of Jesus, there had been a list of 613 rules and laws that were gathered together. That's why there's always this question, what are the most important laws? Jesus would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those were some of the biggies. The little ones might be something like, don't move a chicken off the nest and take its egg while it's there. Wait till it wanders off somewhere else and then take its egg, if you're going to use the egg for dinner. And so all sorts of kinds of things that they had, most of them given simply as a way of instruction, how can you all get along? Which is what teachers try to do in school, along with teaching subject matter, how do we help you learn how to get along with each other? It's how parents have to do that in their own homes. How do you get along? How do you make sure you don't hurt somebody else and push them away and have fun at someone else's expense? We all know that goes on. But along the way, there come some things where people begin to turn it around and say, if I do everything just right, then I get the extra goodies. And so the young guy who wants to borrow dad's car all of a sudden washes the car and picks up his clothes and all the rest of it, trying to get dad to say, oh, he's really being nice. What can I do to thank him? We can think that's how God is. We can turn God into one whom we can manipulate. What are the rules? And so the Jewish people had come up with all sorts of rules. This isn't just the common, ordinary thing about make sure you wash the dishes after the meal. These were all very traditional kinds of things. You had to use a certain amount of water. You had to come up to a certain part on each of your arms. It wasn't just cleanliness. It was God gives us these rules, and if we don't obey them, he's going to punish us, and that's why we don't have our land. And if I'm doing everything just right and my neighbors aren't, then I've got to ride them hard because they're the reason God won't get rid of the Romans. God won't bless us with our land again. And so it's everyone against everyone, finding fault with every single possible thing. I saw you praying the other day, and you didn't have your head bowed. You didn't have your eyes closed. You didn't have your hands folded. How can you expect God's going to bless you, and he's not going to bless me either because you're not praying right? He's going to punish everybody because you're not doing something right. And on, over and over. You haven't done it right. You haven't done enough. You're not doing what you're supposed to, and that's why God's punishing us and not blessing us. And when our Lord comes along, in addition to all the healing that he does and all the teaching that he does, he runs into a lot of conflict, and we're right here smack dab in the middle of it. And we might think Jesus would be kind and loving and affirming and supportive. Tender Jesus, meek and mild. Don't be harsh in any way. That's not the Christian thing to do. And what does Jesus do? He says, you scribes and Pharisees are full of hot air. You don't know God, and you don't know what you're talking about. You're acting as if you can control God and have him under your thumb when you can't. In fact, you are selfish and self-centered, and you are doing everything just for yourselves. And so, the classic example he uses is from the word korban. Cherev in Hebrew is a word that says you take something and you set it aside. We might even call it consecrate. So we could use that word if we would say we consecrate, we set aside the common bread and wine on the altar to be used by God to give us Jesus' body and blood in our sacrament of Holy Communion. But here, what they did was they said, and the case Jesus uses, you have said you are going to take what wealth you have, and when you die, you're going to give it all to God. So here's the way it would have worked in my life. Mom, I can't help you anymore. I don't have time to come over. I have to be earning money that I can give to God someday. Mom, I don't have any extra money for you, and so I'm not going to take care of you, and if you've run out of money, that's your problem. And by the way, I'll be in Maui the next 3 months, so you probably won't be able to reach me. It was nothing. It was nothing about God. It was about themselves. They cooked up every way they could to make things easy for themselves, and we do too. Let's not act as if it was them and they were bad and we're much better than that. We all have a lot of ways in our lives where we limit who God is to what's convenient. Maybe different, maybe bigger or littler, but every one of us in our old sinful nature have ways that we restrict God. We're not going to do everything. We're not going to get that full. We're not going to be that active. I remember hearing many, many, many years ago about somebody who said, you don't want to go to church every Sunday, you might get too religious. Well, can you too much come to hear from your God that he loves you enough that he sends his son to die your death and gives you life everlasting and gives you a chance with all that you have to thank and praise and serve and obey him? The premise of our old sinful nature is the very opposite of the one of our life in Christ. And our life in Christ is the one that says, how can we love God? How can we serve him? How can we use the time, talents, and treasures we have to honor and praise him and to listen for the needs that people have and to act in every way we can to take care of those? Not how can I shut my ears, but how can the Lord open my heart? And so our Lord lets us know that he did not live by these traditions. It's much deeper than just, well, you didn't wash your hands in the right, correct, proper way. It's in your heart. You really think that God is not taking care of you and you have to be on your own and he better help you out because you're so good. Instead of that, we live by grace. We deserve nothing but his wrath and punishment, and we gather here as Jesus instructed his own disciples, to be touched by his grace and his mercy, to be touched by that which opens us up inside, where we listen and instead of finding a way to push others away, like Jesus says they would have pushed their mom and dad away, it's rather how in my life, balanced and settled as it can be, may I praise and honor him, not looking for something more, rejoicing in the life and the blessings he has given me. We're never going to get it any better than to be completely forgiven for everything wrong in us, past, present, and future, and completely at peace with God because the righteousness of Christ is inside of us. We'll never get any better than having eternal life and a God promising us that when our graves go closed, he'll open them up, and he'll give us life again as we have fallen asleep in him, and he'll give us the joy of everything in its proper setting and in its proper amount, and we will never want again. In the meantime, we ask him to help us to respect that which he has given us, the life that he's given, the gifts that he's given, the abilities that we have, that we can use those as his people, that we can celebrate that oneness that we have with him, and that we are not looking and conniving for what can I get away with or what don't I have to do, But how can the Lord open my heart so that I can have the great joy of living out already now what I will live out in all eternity in his presence? The Spirit of God has given us the benefits of Jesus dying and rising. And certainly there are, quote, rules to live by. There are things that are built in that are right and proper, but not things whereby we can say to God, we're going to make you do something for us because we've done what you told us to do. But rather, Lord, give us the joy of living out every day as your people, celebrating that we are at peace with you and therefore we can be peacemakers in the world around us. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.